The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks Golf Club. Thank you to Mike Quick for stopping by, Mickey Morandini for stopping by, the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter, for stopping by. I am in full things aren't where they're supposed to be, live remote stress spike, full on.
Handling it well?
Yeah.
No, you're handling it fine.
I'm handling it fine.
Yes.
Could be
yes,
worse.
Yes.
You've known what worse looks like, and this is not worse.
Yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Do you have real concerns about the Phillies after this weekend, or was it just a bad series? Have you looked at the results yet?
I have not.
Do you want to guess? Just a bad series or real concerns?
I think real concerns, 60%.
Just a bad series, 53%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So close to 50. I think there's some real concerns. I mean, the bullpen's real. I mean, the bullpen's going to be real.
Well, the bullpen, it's amazing how thin the bullpen looks when one of those guys, when either the starter isn't all on or one of those guys doesn't do his job.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, and that's how they got screwed in the Lizardo game. Like, I know people... So it was so interesting hearing the debate about it. I didn't watch it live because I was up in Reading, but he about leaving him out there and it jacking up his ERA and basically took him out of the Cy Young.
It's pretty tough. His ERA is now over 3.5,
and that could affect arbitration.
Yep.
And it could affect all that stuff. And I hear the argument to get him out of there and save him, but at the same time, I don't know what you want them to do. Like I think that's why the Abel thing happened, because it forced their hand to make sure they have a long man, so that if some of these guys aren't pitching the way that they have all this entire year, that they have someone they can go to. But Lazardo's had to wear it because they can't just pitch Joe Ross for four innings.
No.
So
are you, from a Jackie baseball perspective, Strom? So like his velocity is a little bit down this year. Do you, when you watch him, do you see that pitcher from last year in there?
No. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I think it still can get there. I think he might be dealing with dead arm or something, because the fastball doesn't look the same.
Okay.
Like it doesn't have the same. It's not as deceptive, I guess. Like it looks much more hittable than it did last year. I didn't expect him to pitch to a 1-something ERA. Like
yeah,
it did
but
last
it's,
year.
It's like 4 now.
But it's jumped up quickly too, because
He
was at 2-something in the Oakland game. And obviously that didn't go well.
I think it's his last 6 outings have not been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His stuff just looked really flat to me. So
215-592-9494. Joe in Williamstown, you're on WIP. What's up, Joe?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
So I want to say I'm not too worried about this. I'm really not. I'll try to be the positive guy here. I think the key to baseball is getting hot at the right time, and we're getting cold at the right time.
That's right.
And getting hot at the right time is in October. And, you know, we did it 3 years ago. We saw the D-backs do it to us. Hey, it's just getting lucky, I think. Well, it's not necessarily lucky. It's just getting your bats going at the same time and having your rotation being strong. And I think we have a good lineup, and I think we have a good rotation. So I'm not too worried there. The only cause for concern to me is getting some bullpen arms.
Yeah, well, and it feels like they, depending on – oh, man, freaking fun. Depending on what Taiwan ends up being,
what's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me is that they're lying when they are saying they expect him to be a high leverage one inning guy. I have more faith for Joe Ross being a one inning guy than Taiwan being a one inning guy and letting Taiwan be the three inning guy. It just, with the Alvarado thing happening, and if Strom doesn't get it together, they are 2 or 3 arms away instead of being 1 solid arm away. And Jack, I remember when we started this year, you thought the bullpen was an arm short.
Yeah.
I think the tough thing for them is going to be if the bullpen is 2.5 or 3 arm short.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the bullpen not looking good. It wasn't even the bad start from Lizardo. To me, the thing that frustrates me the most about the Phillies is the when they look like the Bad News Bears. Is Trey booting that ball, Castellanos, having a ball hit his glove that he should have caught, Weston Wilson not looking like he knows how to play the outfield.
Probably doesn't know how to play the outfield.
Yeah, probably doesn't. then Lizardo throwing the ball away, and then the ridiculous fight about the balk. Like, to me, the thing that worried me a little, and I want to be clear, I'm not sounding the alarm, I still think they're a playoff team, all that, was that kind of Phillies team. And the thing that I thought hurt them last year was actually not specifically a talent issue. It was a
cockiness.
Yeah, they were not willing to acknowledge that something was wrong. And they think, one second, Joe. Well, they think they're a little bit better than they are. And I went back, Kyle Schwarber did an interview with the morning show in Clearwater this year. And he said, like, he's been on a lot of great teams. This is one of the best teams he's ever been on. And I just think to myself, like, well, they're good, but I think you guys think you're a little bit better than you actually are. And I think that hurts them, because I don't think they have the wiggle room to just sort of, like, out-talent everybody. No. That's my worry.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of an expectation that they can kind of just cruise to the playoffs, which they probably could. But you want to be at your sharpest rolling into October, and by kind of just being like lollygagging throughout the year doesn't get you in that mindset and doesn't get your bats hot and doesn't get you, you know, touching the highest velocity you can, throwing the ball, and just cruising through the year is not going to get you anywhere. I mean, I think that's what the Braves did the prior 2 years when we took care of them in the divisional series. I think they kind of just had this expectation that they could plow through everybody and it bites you in the butt pretty quickly.
Yeah. For next question today, what's a place you've always wanted to visit?
I'd say Milan in Italy would be pretty cool. I've been to Rome, but Milan looks really cool to me. The Winter Olympics are there this year.
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot. There seems like a lot to do there. The food's great from what I hear. I think that'd be a pretty neat place to go.
All right, Joe. Thanks for the call. You ever been to Italy?
So I went when I was 8.
Okay.
I lost my Backstreet Boys CD.
Which one?
The
self-titled?
The big one.
Well, they had 3 big ones.
Is it Millennium?
Millennium, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The one with I Want It That Way?
Yeah,
Millennium.
No, okay. I was in a big, again, for those that are, I know, I could just see the Twitter machine firing up.
Yeah.
I was 8. I was a big Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys guy.
I've seen the Backstreet Boys 10 times.
That's too much. And you're a Disney adult?
I'm not a Disney adult.
Wow. So, no, but Italy, when I was 8. We went to we skied over there.
Okay.
So I was skiing over there, which was insane. But I did do the place where it's all underwater.
Venice.
Yeah. Yep. Almost at the Vatican.
Yep.
Not that one.
Not the Vatican. Oh, but that is in Italy.
It is in Italy.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing as Venice.
Isn't it technically its own country?
Yes, I guess. I guess it's technically its own country, but it's in Italy.
Okay. I'm glad we figured that out.
Venice, so I went to Italy, probably worst trip of my life.
Really?
Yeah, I was living in Chicago, and I went with the girl I was dating and another couple.
This is the one that you guys ended up really hating each other, right?
No, we didn't hate each other, but, you know, I would say we make the plans to go to Italy, and the trip was actually further away than we had actually been dating in that time. And I would say we didn't break up specifically because we had the trip to Italy planned. And the first night in Italy, we broke up in Italy and in the hotel room. And Jack, you know me well enough to know, like, can see this. I tell her, I'm going to the airport. I'm flying back to America right now. I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
And we at least come to an agreement where I will not leave Italy and go sleep in the airport waiting to go back to America. But it was – I will show you pictures. It was one of the worst trips of my life. We found a bar in – I don't think it was Rome. We found a bar in Florence.
Okay.
And it was like an American bar. So they were serving beer and the other. I got so drunk and was so hungover the next day, I threw my back out throwing up.
Jeez. You throw your back out a lot. It seems like you got back issues.
I do have back issues.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Yeah. It was not a good trip. And so I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Really.
It wasn't my favorite trip that we took, because I spilled my mom's friend's beer on her, I think.
In Italy?
In Italy.
Okay.
She, like, freaked out at me. And I don't know if you know this about me. I don't handle being yelled at very well.
No.
Couldn't get over it the entire trip.
Were you crying?
No, I was just like,
you might have cried.
I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you. But I hope that this weekend, back to the Phillies.
Yeah, back to the Phillies.
My hope is that was a humbling weekend. Because I agree with you. I hate when they play like that. I hate when they come out. They don't look locked in. They look checked out. And hopefully that was one of those things where it's a bit of a wake-up call.
Because my thing is like Alec Bohm, Trey Turner, Nick Castellanos, none of you guys are good enough in the field to just be like, hey, I'm just going to – you have to concentrate on every ball that is hit to you. Those three guys are not good enough to just sort of – be out there. You know what I mean? Like, they're not naturally good enough fielders to do that.
Well, and by the way, speaking of Bohm, like, every time there's increased, you ask him to do a little bit more offensively. Like, go bat third or fourth.
No.
Craters.
That's how he's got to hit seven.
He was right back into the ripping the baseball into the ground this weekend.
Got to hit seven.
I mean, just like, when Bryce is back, get Bohm back down to the seven.
Yeah. Seven.
Let him eat down there.
Yeah, let him hit 286 at seventh. And
Castellanos doesn't care where he bats. Just bat him fifth.
Well, Castellanos cares a little bit.
But I don't think he cares from a expectations or pressure thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, I think Bohm, when he gets back to the top of the line, is like, I need it. Like, he gets tight. Don't want that.
You know what he doesn't think he needs to do? Hit home runs. 215-592-9494. Yeah, and three of them are in Colorado, Sacramento, and Tampa.
The one on Saturday was garbage time.
Right.
They did save the run differential a little bit, though.
James in Pottstown, you're on WIP. What's up, James?
Spike, Zach, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, James?
First time calling you guys. I just wanted to let you know I love the show. I'm becoming a bit of a bitsman myself. Really.
Oh, yes. There you go. Thank you, James.
We're all bitsmen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So first things first. I mean, I had a question for Jack.
Okay.
I don't want to jump the gun and say what we should do with Trey Turner, but I just, like, watching that kind of defense day in and day out, what would you do with the guy? Do you just leave him there and hope that offensive output, turns around and is enough?
Well, you leave him there for this year. You see how the rest of the year plays out. And I hear you. He's definitely – I mean, he's not a good defensive – I'm not trying to say that he is. What was kind of a shame about that is that was his first error in a month. You know, I think he had actually started to play a little bit better defensively. But he's not the long-term answer at shortstop. You know, hopefully that's Aiden Miller, and he can handle that spot. I think he's ultimately destined to be in left field. I think he's going to end up being a left fielder where – you know, I don't know if his arm totally plays, and obviously you would like more power out of that spot. I think so far this year, though, I do think his offense has helped counterbalance his defense. We haven't heard a lot of, this guy's a bum, we got to get rid of him, what a bad contract, because he has been pretty much performing offensively.
Yeah, I've liked his offense. It's been good.
Yeah, I think they're going to leave him there for this year. And I think this year is kind of like the ultimatum with Trey. Like, all right, if it doesn't get better this year, we're going to have to make different plans. So it'll at least be this year that we have to deal with it. Yeah.
By the way, Kepler's a good left fielder.
He is a good left fielder.
Yeah.
If he was out there in the Weston Wilson inning, maybe that goes a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought I could have got that one.
Yeah. It wasn't great. It made me want Otto Kemp up here.
A lot of trouble tracking fly balls in the outfield this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Rojas
has had a few. Marsh is awful at it.
Yep, Marsh is bad at it. Yep. And Castellanos has had two or three of them.
Well, he's just so slow.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it takes an hour for him to get to a ball in the corner.
Was that it, James, or do you have something else? Because you had something else up on the screen here.
I was just a throwaway shot at you, Spike.
Oh,
we love that.
Forget about that.
Just throw
yeah.
Embiid in the ringless category.
Okay.
He isn't. He is ringless.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, no, you were talking about Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper and how Harper doesn't have a ring. Well, let's just throw Embiid in there just to, you know, bring him back down.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's fine. But we were talking about, well, whatever. You're being nice, so I'm just going to let it go anyway. What was that? For next question, Dave, what's a place you always wanted to visit?
I've always wanted to visit the Amazon rainforest. And your Italy trip story really scared me because I'm going there for my honeymoon, so I don't need you putting that evil on me.
Well, this was long before. My honeymoon was fine. So that was, with my wife, it ended up working out. I actually think, thank you for the call, James. I think a vacation, a trip, is a good test of a relationship.
Sure.
It's the first real test of a relationship. I think it's an even bigger test than living with somebody. Because when you live with somebody, you're at work for 8 hours a day, you're sleeping for another 8 hours, you can go in different rooms, whatever. You're on vacation. You're together.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with each other.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
If you can survive a vacation together, I think that's a good sign for your relationship.
I would also, a bit of an off-the-wall answer, but yeah, you got to, like, so canoeing or, like, in a boat together. So Jill and I, when we first started dating,
yeah,
I forget there's one where you got to be in lockstep.
Okay.
I think it's rowing. It might be rowing.
You guys were on a crew?
No, we weren't even. Is it kayak? Kayak. Yeah, okay. We were kayaking. Two-person kayak.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, you got to do things kind of in rhythm.
I was going to say, were you guys, like, doing the Dadville Regatta? Did you guys wind up on a crew team or something?
Yeah, no.
You had a kayak.
Yeah, kayak, canoe, whatever. You gotta be in. No, it was a canoe because, yeah, you're on one side of the boat, the other one's on the other side of the boat, and you got to keep it.
Okay.
Right. I promise I'm going to land this plane.
Okay.
This is why I don't talk too much.
Okay.
This is why I try to keep it down.
Yep.
But, I mean, we just, like, I thought she was totally wrong the entire time. She thought I was wrong the entire time. This is like when we were a freshman or sophomore in high school. That was a good early test of.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really changed.
Were you wrong or was she wrong?
I think I was totally right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you were?
No, so of course. I knew how to canoe. She was a liability the entire time.
215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown. You're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy Ike Free Day, man.
No one says that, actually.
Yeah, no. Nope. Yeah. Just you. Yep.
Everyone disagrees.
Yep.
I don't know, guys. Listen, we got to celebrate the fact that we could be honest about our quarterback and you don't get yelled at by your coworker there.
Oh, yeah. Right? You know, I would say generally plays fair with the Jalen stuff. He could make life a lot more difficult on me than he does, I would say. He has a couple of times.
Well, on Friday he forced me into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think he enjoys?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
He's like a lion, you know, and they throw a piece of meat into the cage.
Yeah.
That's what he does with us, with Jalen.
Cornering.
Hey, yeah, just to see, watch us weasel our way out of it.
Yeah.
While you're on the subject of lions, I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Who do you think would win in a fight, and I use the word lion very sarcastically, so who do you think would win in a fight between Stewardess Jim, you know, the closet Eagles fan, or Jolly?
Oh, Jolly.
Well, Jolly, when he gets intense, if you just tell him Daryl Morey,
yeah,
I think he'd kill a man.
That's a weird fight. Is there any reason you're imagining them fighting?
I don't know. Anyway,
get on the fills. Yeah.
Let's get on the fills here. Easy. Pause. Guys, the Phillies are going to be fine. It's June 2nd. I mean, we just won the Super Bowl. But here's the thing that I really want to see. Do you think Dave, and somebody brought this up, Dave goes out and trades for either shortstop or third baseman? Because the reality is we need a bat. And other than getting one out in the outfield, I kind of don't see them making any moves offensively. Like, we know he's going to address the bullpen, but I just don't see him bringing any offensive support or defensive support, and that kind of frightens me. Like, so I guess we come to the question, if we're not going to make a move in the infield, Jack, the question that you're asked a million and one times, who I know you just saw, your man crush, is Aiden going to come up this year? Because that's our only hope.
So unless he gets hot, I don't think he's coming up this year. I mean, he's starting to slowly heat up in Double A, but I think that's more maybe next year. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year. But I mean, like, you say all that, There was a first baseman in town this weekend. If they wanted to do it, there's a first baseman in town. Reese was in town. He would help the lineup.
Why is it that Bryce, who's playing a phenomenal defensive first base, needs to move from his position, but yet our fragile egoed shortstop cannot be moved from his position?
Well, we don't know if he's fragile and egoed with that.
Wow.
And
otherwise, it would have been done.
And Bryce has said that he would move. I mean, I don't know,
but why hasn't Trey said, I will move? I'm terrible at shortstop.
Because
for the better of my team, but specifically, he's actually pushed back when questioned about it and said he's a shortstop.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Here's why I think it's touchier. I think it's touchier because one guy would be going to the outfield for the rest of his career, and the other guy would be back at first base next year. And I think, like, Bryce has a certain standing with this team and a certain standing within the league that allows him to do things that are not a threat to his ego, whereas Trey does not really have that standing. So while I agree with you, it would be nice to have him do that. The other thing is that Bryce has played outfield more recently than Trey has played outfield. And I think it's more reasonable to think that Bryce could go out there and play a solid left or right field than Trey Turner, who hasn't played outfield in 7 years or something, going out there and doing it. So
Before I give you my answer for question of the day,
yeah,
here's a question that I would love to know on the Trump's some truth theorem or a polygraph with Bryce. Does he regret lobbying and bringing Trey in?
I don't think he does. Like he made an error yesterday. Is that why we're all trade up right now? He's been good this year.
Let's not act like this guy randomly makes errors. This guy is an error machine. He's a very below average defensive shortstop.
Sure.
And he makes common plays look uncommon, and that is the problem with him. Nobody's going to argue about his offense. I mean, we'll get up and down when he's hot or cold, but still, at the same token, he's a great offensive batter when it comes to his position. The problem has always been his defensive abilities. And the fact that it seems like, again, he won't move to another position and they're having issues not doing that, I just wonder, and in his heart part, he goes, man, I really wish we wouldn't have brought that guy in. We've got somebody else. That's where I'm at.
Right.
As for the question of the day, the place that I would love to visit is a place my wife and I have always talked about since college, and that's going to Australia, and more particularly going to Steve Irwin's zoo in Australia.
Steve Irwin has a zoo?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's had a zoo there. Obviously, his daughter runs it now.
I didn't know that.
It was always a place, you know, I'm sure Jack has no idea who Steve Irwin is. But
I know who Steve Irwin is.
All right, thank you for the
easy
call, Chris. By the way, my wife also terrified of alligators all the time.
I saw your tweet, though. Like, you don't know the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
I do not.
I don't think anyone does.
No. And if people were responding, it's like, duh. It's like, all right, you just Googled it. Like, there's no way you already knew.
Well, what is the difference?
There's one is more aggressive than the other, and their snouts look different. So I guess one of them has a pointy, like, front of the head, and the other one has, like, a more square front of the head.
I think crocodiles are smaller, too.
I don't know. All I know is my wife thinks there is an alligator coming out of every body of water anywhere. We were in the Poconos once, and she with our dog, and she said, should we get close to the lake? What if there's an alligator? And I was like, in the Poconos. And
wow.
She's like, yeah. And then we were at Disney World, and there's
what
like
about at the ocean? What about at the Jersey Shore?
She's also scared of alligators, and there's like a man-made like little lake thing at the Disney right where we were staying. She's convinced that there's an alligator in there.
But at least that makes a little bit of sense.
You're
in Florida.
I said, Val, like, do you think that alligators are eating people at Disney World like all the time, and we just don't know about it?
Yeah. Well, did you go on the?
Don't you think you would have heard of that?
Did you go on the safari when you were there?
No. I'm not into that stuff.
Why?
Well, because animals.
I remember when I was 8.
Yep.
I was fully bought in on the poachers. Like, I was so upset that there was poachers there going to kill the animals.
Really?
Like they really sold it well.
Yeah.
Like, they sold it well that there's really these poachers.
You thought it was real.
And I was like, that's... I think they saw the truck. I was like, that's a truck. Someone call the cops. Someone call the cops.
And you were like 17 at the time, right?
I was 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wasn't an adult Disney goer like you.
Stop. Adult Disney goer, not an adult Disney person, though. Not a Disney adult.
Sure.
215-592-9494. Cause for concern about the Phillies weekend get... Well, it's not a weekend sweep.
Yeah, they got swept.
They got swept. Yeah. Is there cause for concern the Phillies get swept against the Brewers? 215-592-9494. We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks Golf Club. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks. Ike is off playing golf somewhere.
Yep.
We keep hearing about what an excellent job he did as auctioneer last night.
Yeah.
How much money he raised as auctioneer.
Yeah. It seems like everyone's seen Ike today.
Except
besides us.
Yep. His co-host.
Yeah. I've seen every former Eagle, actually. Yeah. Like, they're just walking around. He said he'd stop by the turn. That didn't happen. So, again, it's...
Well, it's a day off. It's a day off.
Yeah. I think he's actually making up some charity golf tournaments to go to.
So he doesn't have to hang out with us.
So he doesn't have to work.
Everybody was right. The Twitter question.
Yeah, right.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget. Visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at Mark's-Jewelers.com. Do you have real concerns about the Phillies after this weekend, or was it just a bad series? 52.9% say it was just a bad series. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. Tasty Cake, how are you feeling, brother?
Spike, I got two things to get out of the way.
Okay.
Listen, a couple times you let me call in and chirp when I was right about something. So,
well, I think you also present that yourself, Dom. I feel like you're very excited to tell people when you're right.
Boy, Jack, I disagree with that, but okay. I'll take that, but here's what I'm saying. Then, as a Foxhole guy, I had a call today and tell you, Spike, you were dead right about the Pacers, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
Oh, so, Tom Thibodeau. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
I will tell you that this, Jack.
Yeah.
I will tell you, Jack, that if I do, you call the victory lap. I promise you, Jack, when I'm wrong about something, that's the most important call I'll make to the show as a Foxhole guy to say I'm wrong. That's way more important than calling when you're right.
I totally agree. That's what makes you Dom. You're an accountable guy.
Now, number two, Spike, you asked me. So I just, while I was on hold, I had surgery Wednesday. They operated on both of my legs. My left leg was not as bad as the right leg. There was some concern of the infection getting into the bone, and that would be a severe problem. The biopsy came back negatively. I do have MRSA in my bloodstream.
Oh, no.
So I'll have to take antibiotics for the next 8 weeks. But tomorrow I'm off to the rehab with both of my legs. So I'm the happiest guy in the world today, Spike.
Good. So Spike's mic's currently dead right now, Tasty Cake Dom. So he's trying to get it back. But I'm glad it's...
Well, I'll talk to you, Jack, and I got to tell you something else.
Okay. Gotcha.
There we go.
Right,
so, by the way, Tasty Cake, glad that everything is going. MRSA going through your bloodstream, not great, but I assume you're being attended to by professionals who know what they're doing.
Spike, because of the I want to thank the show because I'm going to be heading to the rehab, and I'm going to rehab my rear end off to get out of this wheelchair. And so next summer, Spike, me, you, Jack, and Ike versus Hugh, Gillio, Kyle, and Chris from Middletown, anytime, any court, any place, anywhere. Spike, I promise you, I got five more jumpers left in these.
Oh, that's all you need, brother. Five more. Just five more.
I got five more jumpers left in these legs, so let's do it.
I would love that.
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I would love to see it.
No, we will. Anything to hit Chris in Middletown down.
I'm picking whatever team Tasty Cake Dom's on.
Now, Spike, I need a favor. I need to ask for you to help me mentor our guy who I love to death. Because on Friday, Spike, Jack and Ike did the show, and their question was, who is the most reprehensible, hateful athlete in the history of Philadelphia?
Oh, my God.
And as you know, Spike, there is the definitive answer, which I had. There is one answer that shines above all others. And I was having a procedure done, so I couldn't call. But I did text Jack the answer. which is D.C., and his response, Spike, was who?
Wait, you said Derek Coleman?
Yeah.
I said Derek. Wait a minute. He didn't know Derek Coleman.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't know he walked around with D.C. I thought he was talking about Dominic Rogers Cromartie or something.
Spike, ain't that a little bit of a violation there?
Well, Jack didn't experience Derek Coleman as a Sixer, I don't think.
Well, like, I'm right.
Why was he so? I didn't know that he was so hated.
Well, it was a bad era. You know what I mean? Like I guess I don't have. Maybe it's because I'm a Syracuse guy. I don't have the same Derek Coleman. Like I wouldn't put Derek Coleman on the same level as like Papelbon or
Babin, Jake Arrieta.
Yeah. Oh my God, Arrieta.
Can I tell you my reason why I hate him more than everybody else?
Absolutely.
Because Spike, as you know, he should have been Karl Malone. He should have been Tim Duncan. There is nothing on the basketball court that Derek Coleman couldn't. He could shoot like Dirk. He could rebound like Robin. And he could pass like Magic. There's nothing on the court that Derek Coleman didn't have except heart and ambitiousness to be in shape.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was lazy. I mean, he's exactly as you're describing him. He was incredibly talented and just didn't have the motivation to be great at the next level, which is why, you know, guys like that can shine in college and then the league exposes them. But he was so great, by the way, talent-wise, that he was able to, like, his stats are fine. Like, you look at his stats as an NBA player, and he played pretty well, but I think it's pretty deceptive. Watching him and looking at the stats were two different things.
Yep, and also got a little grudge because Larry Brown went and got him twice. Like
wow.
he didn't have enough of him the first time. He went and got him a second time.
Larry Brown, one of the more overrated coaches in Philadelphia history.
We agree again.
Yeah,
we're on a ship of being on the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, always, wherever Larry Brown is, he's always looking for whatever his next stop is going to be. So Larry Brown's got a big case of coach FOMO. Yeah.
Do I got 20 more seconds to ask you something, Spike? Because I got into an argument with a young fella last night who is a diehard Sixers fan.
Okay.
Okay. He goes Jokic over Shaq.
So here's the thing. I think most people, if you didn't watch Shaq, I think it's very, very difficult for people to understand how dominant he was.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like he was like nothing. What people talk about Wilt being like, that's what Shaq looked like to me. Shaq was the most unstoppable basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Physically incomparable to anyone he played with. So I would take Shaq over Jokic simply because Shaq was dominant on both ends. That said, Jokic is like, it's pretty awesome.
is Jokic ahead of Hakeem yet?
I got Hakeem ahead of Shaq.
Really?
Yeah.
I go Kareem, Moses, Hakeem. I got Kareem 1, Spike.
Well, that's fine. I mean, he's got the numbers for it. Just wasn't any fun to watch. Thank you for. Oh, Tasty Cake, give us your next question. Someplace you always wanted to visit.
So, I have seen Niagara Falls, and I saw Mount Rushmore. I never saw the Grand Canyon, and I'd like to see that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've been in the Grand Canyon.
I haven't been there. Another story. You ready for another travel story?
Sure. Same ex-girlfriend?
No. It was my Aunt Debbie. Shout out Aunt Debbie. So I was living freshman year, University of Southern California, and Debbie volunteers. I have my car out there. Debbie volunteers to fly out and drive back with me.
Okay.
From Los Angeles to Philadelphia. So the thought was we were going to split the driving. And we're going to stop at places like the Grand Canyon. We're on our way outside of Los Angeles, and I say to her, I forget what the freeway is, but I say, hey, can you let me know when you see the sign for the 10? And she was like, oh, I can't read the signs. And I was like, what do you mean you can't read the signs? She's like, I can't read the signs. And I was like, well, how are you supposed to be driving? And she said, oh, I can see big stuff like cars.
Nice. And 18-wheelers?
So at that moment, I realized I was driving the entire way
back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We didn't stop anywhere. We drove from L.A. to Philadelphia in 3 days, drove 14 hours a day just so I could get home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of like when George was starting spotting the...
Yes, spot. Yeah, those were mailboxes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Nah, the Grand Canyon, while cool, my issue with it was, like, you know, I don't know how long you're supposed to just look at rocks. Like... I get it. I get the Grand Canyon thing.
Well, you can take like a trip down. Can't you like walk down it?
Yeah, we didn't want to do that.
Okay.
We kept that on the, we were on the top.
215-592-9494. Ken from Cinnaminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up, Ken?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay. You were sounding like you could. So,
No. Yeah, all good. I wasn't ogotting you. I'm sorry.
Since George Costanza has already been brought up, Spike, it is George Costanza who said that those trips are relationship killers, right?
It's the truth.
And I don't know if you have heard this or not, but it's the truth, Spike. About, I guess, maybe 10 years ago, a 3-year-old kid was taken by an alligator in one of those man-made lakes. On the Disney property there.
I got that story sent to me a couple times during the break.
Oh, well, I guess Val had a right to be scared then.
Yeah, it's not as irrational as you're making it out.
Well, how long has Disney World been there? 75 years? One alligator in 75 years sounds like pretty good odds.
Unless you're that 3-year-old.
Spike, what do you got to say about that?
Then you're chum. So,
yeah.
Listen, the cause for concern, again, it's the question and the way the question is posed that causes me angst, because the cause for concern is not about this week. The cause for concern has been staring us right in the face for a long time.
Here it
and
comes.
You tell me if this is worthy of concern. They are the worst defensive team in baseball as measured by defensive run saved. They are last. They are negative 33 in defensive run saved. And, oh, by the way, I love when Chris Middletown says demonstrably false things, which he does a lot. So Bryce Harper playing phenomenal first base. Bryce Harper and Rhys Hoskins both have the exact same DRS ranking this year, negative 2. So they are both rated as negative 2 defensive run saved. So if that's phenomenal, then I guess Rhys Hoskins is playing.
Well, you would say though that the baseball defensive metrics are pretty messy, and the eye test would allow you to believe that Bryce Harper is a better defensive first. Now I'm not watching Rhys Hoskins every game, but right. I think it's probably fair to say that Bryce is a better first baseman.
I would agree with that. But we talk about the guy like it's you might as well just throw a first baseman on the bag.
I agree. We call him a gold glover a lot for a guy who's never won a gold glove.
He's been there a year and a half.
Well, I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not a stretch to just say, you know, whether you really trust the metrics or not, that this team is among the worst defensive teams in baseball. The bullpen is terrible. And that's objectively true, that the bullpen is just terrible. And they are sub 500 against 500 teams. And they have been for a long time. So... You used the phrase earlier that this team is not as good as they think they are. This team is not as good as a lot of people think they are. And it's all of those kinds of things are staring us in the face and waving at us saying, hey, look at me. And we're ignoring it because, you know, when Kyle Schwarber...
But they have played good baseball this year, Ken. I mean, they have.
Look, we went from, and again, this is the roller coaster that we do, you know, which you have to do, because, I mean, you got to talk about something for 4 hours, right? But when they were struggling a few weeks ago, it was, you know, let's fire Rob Thompson, which I would always sign up for, by the way, and, you know, let's fire Dave Dombrowski, which...
Well, hold on. You're all Sirianni'd up. He's the greatest thing of all time, but Thompson, he sucks.
Well, Nick Sirianni, I'm not going to get into apples and oranges comparison. You know, Nick Sirianni is the most accomplished head coach in the history of the franchise.
Well, by winning percentage, Thompson's the best winning percentage in the history of the franchise.
Well, when he wins a ring, we'll talk about it. But the point is that a couple weeks ago, everybody was all panicking, and now they go out and they beat up on some Double A teams for a week and a half, and everybody's got them as World Series favorites, and we keep hearing about best record in baseball. The best record in baseball on June 1st or May 30th or whatever the date was when they still had the best record in baseball. You can't watch this team and say, okay, this legitimately is the best team in baseball. They're just not. And I don't know how you're going to be able to fix what is broken because they didn't do anything to address it. So this team is going to be bad defensively all year. Jack, you said it, and you're exactly right. They are at least two, if not three, arms short in the bullpen. I don't know how you address that. I mean, Taijuan Walker certainly isn't going to be the answer. And, until they can beat good teams and until they can prove that they don't struggle hitting quality pitching, because they have struggled hitting quality pitching, and it's been a while now. And I would just remind you that it was this coming weekend last year when they went to London. So this weekend coming up is a year ago since they went to London last year. And they were a sub-500 team since they came home from London. So there's, 103 games left in the year right now? If they are sub-500 from here on out, which they were last year at this point, if they go 51 and 52, because there's 103 games left, that's 87 wins, and that doesn't get them into the postseason. So the cause for concern that I have is not based upon this weekend. The cause for concern that I have is the cause for concern that I had on opening day, that they haven't fixed the flaws with this team. And I think we're looking at four more months of this core of the baseball team before they have to admit this roster, the way it's constituted, cannot win a World Series. And they're gonna
Can I ask you something, though, Ken? All fair points, right? Let's put the Dodgers aside. What team in the National League do you think is better?
I think the Mets are clearly better. I think the Cubs are better only because the Cubs, if you look at the Cubs' run production, the Phillies can't match that. So,
Well, what happened when the Phillies went out there, Ken?
It was May, right? So, it's 162 game season.
I know.
And the sample size, the larger sample size, is this team as it's constituted over the last two or three years, and against 500 or better teams, they are a sub 500 team, not just this year. They're a sub-500 team for a long time going back. And defensively, they're it's just such a bad recipe to be the worst defensive team in baseball, have a terrible bullpen on top of it. Like, how many runs can you possibly hope to score, especially when you're running Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas and Max Kepler and Edmundo Sosa, and you're running those guys out there every day of the week? It's just, look, I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am, which is not new for me. But
right, yeah. You're a genius. Yeah. Yep.
Ken, what next question today? Give us somewhere you always wanted to visit.
Well, when I was in Europe in the 80s in the Army, and there was, an Iron Curtain at the time, so I got to see a lot of Europe for free, but the one place I didn't get to see because there was an Iron Curtain that I really want to go visit, I want to go to Poland. I mean, half of my family is from there, and I just understand it's a beautiful country, and Warsaw is a beautiful city. So I'd like to get to Poland before it's all said and done.
There you go. First vote for Poland.
Might be the only vote for Poland.
Yeah, probably not going to be a huge on the list of places.
See, I do want to go to Scandinavia, though. Like, I'm Swedish.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah.
Well, in Epcot Center, you actually visit every part of the world.
That's amazing.
So I was in Norway or whatever.
You really are a Disney adult.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
I just... Ken laid it on pretty thick there.
Yeah.
He laid it on pretty thick.
He said he had a lot of points, a lot of good points.
Well, I'll say this.
Yeah.
Before they went to London last year, they swept the Brewers. So now they got swept by the Brewers.
There you go.
Changing it all around.
Changing around the mojo.
I just don't buy the – I was continuing to push back against they beat up on bad teams. Like, I just don't think that's true. I think for a week there they did. They played the Pirates and the Rockies, and, yeah, they took care of business. That's how they got the best record in baseball, right? But unless we want to just pretend that no one's afraid of the Braves, no one's afraid of the Diamondbacks, the Rays stink, even though I think they're 500 now. Like, they have played good teams and beat them too. They went to Chicago and to Cleveland and won both of those series. Like, I just
And by the way, if we were cheering for the Mets and we looked at the Mets lineup every day, we would not think the Mets were that good a team.
Well, also, the Mets just swept the Rockies of the weekend.
Right.
But now everyone's like, the Mets. I just, again, before this Brewer series, and I think if we all agree that they've played better baseball post-Mets series, they were 8-5 against teams that are over 500.
But now they're 8-8.
They had a bad weekend. But they've also, during that time, took 2 or 3 from the D-backs, took 2 or 3 from the Braves, and swept the Rays. They beat the Cubs 2 or 3, and they beat the Guardians 2 or 3. I know the Pirates and Rockies things helped propel them to the quote-unquote best record in baseball. Do I think they're the best team in baseball? No, I don't think they're the best team in baseball. But I think that they're just like all these other teams. It's just we don't watch the other teams. So it makes it more frustrating when they go out and have a weekend like that. But it's just the excitement that people have when they play bad. It's the excitement that they can say, there they are. There's the fraudulent Phillies. It makes people so happy. It's always the football fans. It's always the Eagles fans.
Well, but you do the same thing. You would do the same thing with Jalen. I'm sorry. I got to call you on it.
What?
You do the same thing.
What?
If Jalen has a bad half.
Never.
You are elated.
Never.
Oh, you're not talking to somebody who doesn't talk to you during the games, buddy.
Well, you kept jinxing it last year.
I didn't keep jinxing
it. Yeah, you did. You text in the first half being like, all excited.
No,
I'd say no.
You're trying to turn me into you.
Don't count.
I'm not you.
Don't count the chickens for the eggs.
I'm not you. Don't make me you. 215-592-9494. Phils get swept by the Brewers. Is there real cause for concern? We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks.
Ike Reese, apparently here.
Is he?
Haven't seen him.
We haven't seen him. 2 hours. Well, actually, I've been here since 12:30. So I've been here 3.5 hours. I've not seen Ike.
We're not even sure if he's actually here. No. If we're going to be a good... Jack's all... The other producer named Jack is all like, he's here.
Prove it.
Just like Will.
Yep. High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report next.
Sure.
All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.